إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you and once again in our classes. Tonight we continue reading from the book of our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. الأجوبة المفيدة عن أسئلة المناهج الجديدة. Beneficial answers to questions on innovated methodologies. Once again, I remind you of the importance of the matter, because there are a lot of people out there in the field of da'wah who speaks in the name of Islam, under the banner of Islam, jihad, this, that, but they are far away from the truth, far away from that which a Muslim should be upon. Remember that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned to the companions, the best of this ummah, that this ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in a hellfire except for one. There is one that is upon the haqq, upon the truth, that is saved. Has nothing to do with their color, their nationalities. Has to do with one thing. As the Prophet ﷺ said, they are those who are upon what he is upon and his companions, radwanullahi alayhim. That's what makes a difference. So we don't live in a time of the Sahaba when things was okay, alhamdulillah, all the Sahaba upon one thing, Allahu Akbar. Nor we live amongst the Tabi'een when there was abundance of scholars and the majority, they were upon the Haqq and the Haqq was clear, and whenever there is a bid'ah, you find the ulama, they smash it down. We live far away from this era. We live in times of trials and tribulations. Many people are speaking about Islam these days. So it is very important for us. Yes, we know the aqidah, the creed, but we need to know the manhaj of the Salaf. What the Sahaba were upon, Ridwanullah alayhim. What is the characteristics of these saved sects? Why they are saved? What they adhere to? What is that that make them the exception? And in the same time, we learn and we find some time to learn about this innovative methodologies, these groups out there that call in the name of Islam and cause a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion. But once we try, and that's what we're doing in this class, we're trying our best, inshallah ta'ala, to remind the people and to provide the Muslims with the sound knowledge as related to these innovative methodologies and the innovators behind that who spread these false ideologies that are not from the manhaj of itself. The last question was question 31, and it was about, we learn that it is not from the sunnah nor from the way of the Salaf to speak in public against the rulers. Keep in mind, as the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, the rulers are not perfect. They are not prophets. They get to have shortcomings and mistakes. But how to deal with their shortcomings and their mistakes, that's very important for us to know. We remind you of one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, whoever has some advice for the leader should not speak it out in public. Rather, he should take his hand and sit with him in privacy So if the leader, the leader and the ruler accepts it, accept the advice, then it's okay, alhamdulillah. And if he doesn't, then the person who has given the advice has performed what is required from him, or of him, inshallah ta'ala, that's it. And as for exposing the faults of the ruler in front of the public, whether on a Jumu'ah khutbah, in the classes, on the internet, on the pamphlets, and the newspapers, and send them all over, this is not from the way of the Salaf. This is forbidden. And it brings a lot of harm and confusion. And this is from the way of al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, the way from the Khawarij as well. They're the ones that always, because they seek positions and they seek leadership, so of course they're not gonna follow the Sunnah as related to this point. And they want to say anything so that the people turn against the ruler. And we live in a time and we know what happens when the people goes against the ruler. We know what Egypt still going through, and Yemen, and Somalia for years, for decades, and Libya, and many, and Syria, and many other places. Chaos, turmoil, because the people, they don't know these principles. No doubt there is dawn, man, as the Shaykh mentioned, there is oppression, there is dawn, but the Prophet ﷺ, he already advised the companions. And he, and through that he advised us. Says if the rulers, he says, you will see that some rulers, they will take the wealth. They will. You gotta see that. This is the Prophet ﷺ saying. He says, but be patient. Don't go against the ruler. Even if he beat your back and take your wealth. Some people says, come on, akhi, what are you talking about? And they forget that that's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying to the best of the Ummah, the companions of Allah. So anyway, it is not from the Sunnah nor from the Manhaj of a Salaf to talk in public about the faults of the rulers. And you see this is perpetrated in internet, on the chat rooms, in the TV stations. They bring two people and start talking about the ruler, and before you know it, all those who are watching, except from those Allah have mercy on them, that's it. They already have an idea what they're going to do with the ruler. Likewise, when we are in the gatherings, this is not what we're going to spend our time. Rather, we spend time upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone wants to advise the ruler, then yes, as the ulama, they mentioned, those who are close to him, they can advise him directly, but nicely. If he listens, alhamdulillah. If he don't, you did what you had to do. What is required of you, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. Those who are not close to the ruler, then send a letter. That's it. That's all you have to do, send a letter. And if you reach him, don't reach him, you did what you're supposed to do. And as for talking about them, and in the gatherings, and the khutab, and this is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We continue reading barakallahu fikum, question number 32. They said to the Shaykh, and this is about a man named Muhammad Qutb. Says Muhammad Qutb, and this man, he just died a couple months ago. Muhammad Qutb, by the way, he is the brother of Sayyid Qutb. Sayyid Qutb, as you all know, this ignorant man who has no right to speak about the deen of Allah, and he caused a lot of problems through his writings and his statements in his many books, like the Tafsir Dira'a al-Qur'an, and he went too far in even belittling the prophets. And the Sahaba, Naam, this man said, Qutb, who is the main Shaykh for Ikhwan Muslimun. Ikhwan Muslimun, they hear people talking about some of the Sahaba, no problem. They hear some, but they cannot take it. Someone say one word against Sayyid Qutb. Wal-iyadu billah. Wal-iyadu billah. So, as the ulama, they mention from the more noble Shaykh, Shaykh Rabi'a, Hafidhahullah, says the books of Sayyid Qutb, they are the source of all problems. Many problems these days. Takfir, Khawarij, going against the ruler because of his books. Sayyid Qutb. Who died many years ago, maybe some 50 years ago he died. However, this man, his brother Muhammad Qutb, who looked Saudi Arabia, allowed him to reside in Saudi and took care of him, and he used to teach in the University of Umm al-Qura, this man. وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْإِحْسَانِ. People who took care of you, what is, and do good to you, Allah tells us, what is the reward of good? Except what? That good. Instead to spread the sunnah and like that. This is the man who actually published the books of his brother and spread them all over the world. This man here, Muhammad Qutb. And he was on the same ideology, and he's one of the main figures of Al-Ikhwan Al-Muslimun. Wal-Iyadu Billah. So here, this man, Muhammad Qutb, wrote in his book, Towards Implementing the Sharia. He has a book called Towards Implementing the Sharia. حول تطبيق الشريعة. Concerning the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Now he's going to give the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Look at this man. He says, La ilaha illallah means that there is no deity that is worshipped except Allah. That is worshipped except Allah. Is this correct, this statement? See, that's just this, the first thing. He says that there is no deity, that is worshipped except Allah, and there is no ruler besides Allah. This is the definition of La ilaha illallah. So the Shaykh, they said to him, is this interpretation correct, Shaykh? Is this interpretation correct? Abu Jamal Furihan al-Harithi, Hafidhahullah, in a footnote, he says, and he makes this statement, this man, in two places of the book mentioned above, page 20 and 21, and elsewhere. He also affirms the understanding of this statement in his book, Our Current Situation, page 21, saying, but rather it is because they, and he was talking about the people of the days of ignorance of this current time. People of ignorance in this time. Is there any jahiliyyah this time? Say, subhanallah. As he explains at this time, rejects the main requisites of La ilaha illallah. Meaning these people, the jahiliyyah, who are not upon the methodology, the sect methodology of al-Khawarij, of the Ikhwan, they say they reject the prerequisites of La ilaha illallah, which is ruling by Allah's legislation and putting Allah's methodology into effect. That's exactly his brother Sayyid Qutb. He, in many places in his books, he says that there is no Islam in his time, no Muslim countries. Is jahiliyyah, people are in a state of ignorance. Takfir. That's why you find people now that say there is nobody Muslims. Remember, all these are Muslims? Ain't no Muslims anymore. This is the takfir, the methodology of the Khawarij. The answer to this question by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Salih al-Fawzan, Habibullah, he says, Allah has explained the meaning of La ilaha illallah in his book. Allah explains the meaning of La ilaha illallah in his book, as did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I read this to you, just something came in my mind. One of the mashayikh or students of knowledge, I read this a couple of weeks ago. Somebody sent it to me, alhamdulillah, on WhatsApp. That he says that the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they constantly say we have to establish the Khilafah, we have to establish the Khilafah. They never talk about the Aqidah. He said, then somebody told them, what is more important, to establish the Khilafah or the Aqidah? He says aqidah. He says, okay, well, call to the aqidah first. Call to the aqidah. If you know that it's important, call to the aqidah. So the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Surah An-Nisa, verse 36. And worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, verse 36 as well, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And we have indeed sent to every nation a messenger saying, he said to his people, worship Allah and avoid the false deities. Worship Allah alone and avoid worshipping the false deities. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, verse 5, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَا. And they were not commanded except to worship Allah alone, making the religion purely for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrating from His close friend, or Khalil, that's the Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, who in the Quran he said to his people, as in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 26 and 27, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to his people, his father and his people, who were upon ship, he said to them, verily I am free from all that you worship, except for the one who created me. I worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. To worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He alone deserves to be worshipped, and to free yourself from the false deities. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. The Shaykh mentioned also this ayah 56 in Surah Al-Dhariyat, and I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. And in another report, in one report, until they single Allah out in worship. And this is a Sahih al-Bukhari, by the way, this hadith. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, Shaykh Fawzan now continue, said, so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is to single Allah out with all worship, not just with hakimiyya, that He is the only ruler. The ikhwan, they want to put all of this hakimiyya, the hukum. He says, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is to single Allah out with all worship, not just with hakimiyya, i.e. that He is the only ruler, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Shaykh Saleh al-Fawzani says, the meaning of La ilaha illallah is, there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Not there is no deity worshipped that is worshipped. Because people, they worship other false deities, very wrong. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran. أَمْ لَهُمْ آلِهَةٌ أَيْ نَعَمْ. So he says, so therefore, the meaning of La ilaha illallah is there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And this entails making one's worship purely for Allah alone, and ruling by Allah's legislation falls under this. Now, ruling by Allah's legislation falls under this. The Shaykh continues saying, the meaning of La ilaha illallah is more general than that. What is greater and more important than ruling by the Quran in matters of dispute is removing shirk from the world and making worship solely for Allah. This is the correct interpretation. That instead of Al-Ikhwan Muslimun understood this because they have wicked understanding. Okay? And that's the result of anyone who is not upon the path of the Sahaba. he will find himself on one of the paths of the shayateen. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us in hadith, they don't call to tawheed, or rather they minimize this matter. Some of them even says you can finish tawheed in one lecture. One lecture and that's it, you get tawheed. The Anbiya, they spend their lives calling to tawheed. Nuh alayhi salam, alfa sana illa khamsin, calling to tawheed. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 13 years in Mecca and 10 years or a couple of months in Medina, tawheed. Rather, the last statements, one of the last statements that he mentioned before he died is tawheed, calling to tawheed and warning against shirk. So the Shaykh said that is more important because that's what's going to save the people. Getting more jobs or better jobs and getting raised in their salaries and the price of gas will drop down and food and bread drop down, which is a good thing, no doubt. But that's going to get them to the Jannah. If they stay upon shirk and upon innovations and upon ignorance, no. So now the Ikhwan constantly, you got to turn against the ruler. This coming Friday, you got to rally because the gas prices are high. Because the bread, I don't know what. You see? And they forget about the main thing that will save the people from the hellfire. Tawheed. And the main thing that leads them to the hellfire. To dwell forever if they die upon that shirk. And the Ikhwan Muslimin do not talk about that. So Allah salamu alaikum. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, as for interpreting it to just mean hakimiyya, that la ilaha illa means only that Allah is the only one who has the right to rule, he said this interpretation is deficient. You see? He said this interpretation is deficient and doesn't give the complete meaning of la ilaha illallah. Doesn't give the complete meaning of la ilaha illallah. And as for interpreting it to mean there is no creator except Allah, then this interpretation is completely incorrect. Like Jama'at al-Tabligh. That's what the definition of La ilaha illallah. No creator by Allah, no provider by Allah. He said this is completely incorrect and not just deficient. And this is because La ilaha illallah did not come to confirm that there was no creator except Allah, as the polytheist already acknowledged this. Now Jama'at al-Tabligh, look at their jahl. They're saying that La ilaha illallah means there is no creator. La malika illallah, wa la khaliqa illallah, wa la raziqa illallah. Yeah, shaitan know that, man. The pagans of Quraysh who fought the Prophet and companions, they know this. Subhanallah. And they refuse to say La ilaha illallah, not because this is the meaning. And they know. Allah tells us in the Quran in many places, if you ask them who created the heaven and the earth, who created them, who caused life and death, who sent down rain, what they say? Allah. So the Shaykh Abu Ta'ala says, La ilaha illallah did not come to confirm that there was no creator except Allah, as the polytheists already acknowledged this. So if this testimony only meant that there was no creator except Allah, this would mean that pagan Arabs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ adhered to Tawheed. You see? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ فَأَنَّا يُفَكُونَ. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, Ayah 87, and if you were to ask them, meaning the polytheists, who created you, they will surely say Allah. So this would mean that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab adhere to Tawheed. Allahu Akbar. Sanadid Quraysh. The main pagans of Quraysh, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, who died upon shirk, they are those who say that this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, they say no, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they were upon Tawheed. Furthermore, the Shaykh, he says, interpreting it to mean there is no deity that is worshipped except Allah, you see, like the man says, is also wrong, since it would necessitate the understanding that Allah coexists within His creation, Wahdat al-Wujud. And this is since there are many deities that are worshipped, such as statues and graves. So is worshipping them considered worship of Allah? Yes. No one worshipped except Allah. So everything is Allah then. Jesus is to them. Because people now worship Jesus. People worship Buddha. Other people worship trees, stars, moons. The Shaykh said they are saying that everything is Allah. You worship Allah or Jesus or Buddha, it is all the same, according to this meaning of Iyadu Billah. Ayna. The Shaykh said, we must interpret the meaning of La ilaha illallah as this. There is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illa Allah. Wa ghayru Allahi in ubida fa bibatil. As Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab al-Wasabi says in his book, القول المفيد في أدلة التوحيد. So the Shaykh says, so the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, the true meaning, not as this man claimed, this إخواني محمد قطب or جماعة التبليغ or other than them. No, what he means that لا معبود حق إلا الله. There is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Luqman verse 30, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. And that which you call, they call unto besides Him, then that is falsehood. That is falsehood. Question 33. Was the call, the da'wah of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, a call to an Islamic party? Because Ahlul Bidah, that's what they say. Because whenever there is a alim, alhamdulillah, who talks the haqq and spread the sunnah and the aqidah to tawheed and manhaj of as-salaf, the Ahlul Bidah, they don't like that. He's going to take away people from them. Alright? And they don't want that. So what they're going to do? They don't have the truth with them to encounter him. Do they know? They don't have no truth. What they do? Lies. Ahlul Bid'ah kadhabun. The people of innovation, they lie. They lie to defend their principles and what they are upon and to preserve their, or to try to preserve their territories. So now when the alim is talking, calling to tawheed, they want to try their best to keep as many people as they can from this person, from his gatherings, from his books, from his talks, from his masjid, if he give khutbah on Jumu'ah or classes, by lying, fabricating lies. Now here is one of them. They say that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the great Shaykh, he was calling to Islamic party, like the Ikhwan al-Muslimin and the Tablighi group. What is your advice to the one who says such thing and spreads it in books? So they say, look, this man, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he didn't call to the truth like they claim. No, he just started his own party. So why are you blaming us? You blaming us, Ikhwan Muslimin, because we have a party? Huh? So why are you blaming us? And your Shaykh that you say you read now and you teach his books, he has his own party as well. See, that's the question. The answer the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, I say that the call of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, was based on the methodology of the Salaf. Now, his call was based on manhaj al-salaf, the methodology of the Salaf in both fundamental and subsidiary issues, both. The purpose of it was not to be biased and partial towards one group or party apart from what Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah were upon, past and present. As for the group, Shaykh Fawzani says, Ikhwan al-Muslimin and the Tablighis and all other groups, then we invite all of them to refer their methodologies. So we invite all of them to refer their methodologies back to the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the guidance and understanding of the pious predecessors, and to compare that with them. Let's compare.